This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
If that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
My Father and the Man in Black is the untold story of bad boy Johnny Cash, his talented but troubled manager, Saul Holliffe, and a son searching for his father in the shadow of a legend. Jonathan Holliffe is the son who created the documentary film that tells the story about his father, Saul Holliffe, and the Man in Black. The Man in Black is, of course, legendary American singer-songwriter Johnny Cash. Jonathan Holliffe's documentary is an intensely personal investigation of his father's life and the celebrity who dominated it for years. Both Cash and his manager, Saul Holliffe, were strong men with serious weaknesses. The film is respectful, but it shows the good and the bad, the public and the painfully private.
My Father and the Man in Black will screen in Nanaimo on Friday, May the 29th. It's a fundraiser for Vancouver Island Mental Health Society. And the film depicts the lived experience of mental health struggles and documents the filmmaker's unfolding understanding of his father's illness. We're joined in the studio by Jonathan Holliffe, who is the director, producer, and driving force behind My Father and the Man in Black. Welcome to People First Radio, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me.
This all started with a key, a notebook, and a locker on a Canadian winter night. Tell us about what you found in that locker.
A big surprise. In short, I found my father. He had died as a consequence of suicide. We had been estranged for many years, 20 years, with ne'er a word spoken. And I was at a crossroads in life where I was having a very difficult time dealing with his death and an inability to move forward. And I didn't know the storage locker existed. My mother told me about it, and I was visiting in an effort to help her deal with my father's belongings, get rid of them, and so on. And what I found there was shocking. He had kept everything from his life. Half the locker was his own story, and half the locker, the time he spent with Johnny. Not only were there thousands of photographs and memorabilia of all kinds, gold records and the like, but perhaps most surprising was a box full of audio tapes. My father had recorded a personal audio diary for many years.
Now, you kept a journal, and you wrote about your experiences, from what I gather. But what I want to ask you about is the process that you entered into as a result of finding all of these items.
Absolutely. This never was going to be a film. This was an effort to do some therapy on my part. My mother had just lost her husband, so I was not about to bring these boxes of material back to her home and unpack it on her living room floor. So I spent many nights in the cold winter of Nanaimo at the storage facility going through this material. And I brought with me a spiral notebook to simply take notes about what I discovered, what I might learn about my father. I was very interested, of course, as most of us would be in that situation, about where I fit in to his life. Were there photographs of me? Were there references about me? Or was it all about other things that he seemingly cared more about? And of course, as I said, I didn't want to burden my mother with this information. However, I brought these notebooks home with me. And one morning I got up late and I found my mother at the breakfast table flipping through these notebooks. And initially I was concerned, but she suggested that this information was important for me, important for other people, and suggested I consider writing a book, to which I said, I'm not a writer. And I'd never considered myself creative in any way. I'd always worked on the business side of entertainment. And I looked at her and I looked at the material and I thought, well, this could become a standard one-hour Canadian video documentary for television. After I wrote the treatment, however, and had friends back in California where I'd spent most of my career read that treatment, they all said it should be a film and they all said I should tell it from my point of view.
What did you discover about your father that you didn't already know or that you had mistakenly thought you already understood?
It was a unique situation, as I mentioned. How many of us get an opportunity to meet our parents after they've died and to do so in a way where we get to know them as people rather than parents? For example, the first audio tape I transcribed was an audio diary my father recorded when he was my age. And it was as if he was speaking to me across the decades. I was 40 when I heard his first audio recording that he recorded when he was 40. And he was describing, for example, the night that he was awakened early in the morning in Toronto and told to rush down to the parking lot. Johnny had overdosed in his motorhome. And I was listening to this like a fly on the wall with rapt attention. And I found it absolutely fascinating, as most of us would. But then my father said, and we were concerned about the baby. And it was that time, for the first time, I realized that I was 9 months old on my first Johnny Cash tour.
Amazing. Amazing. Give us a sense of what happened between your father and Johnny Cash. And I know a lot happened, and I appreciate the amount of material is immense. And the story is told in the documentary. But what can you tell us in terms of the dynamics between the men and some of their key challenges?
Well, it's interesting. They were polar opposites in many ways, but much like most successful artist-manager partnerships, they each brought something to the table. My father was the marketer. My father was the one who recognized Cash's talent at a time when he was not doing very well. He was playing high schools in late 1950s. He had had trouble already with missing shows, and my father saw promise in him and brought discipline and brought a sense of promotion and marketing that he had never seen before. He wanted to market Johnny Cash as unique and to position him outside of Nashville, outside of the country music scene. And so together, they were greater than the sum of their parts. In terms of their personalities, you couldn't find any more two different people. My father was an urban kind of intellectual. Johnny, of course, was raised in the Deep South with very little education. Cash, however, was extraordinarily bright. My father was well-read, and among the other things my father tried to do was to instill in Johnny a love for reading, which 2 decades later, Cash credited Saul with instilling that in him. But ultimately, they each had kind of opposing worldviews, opposing ideologies. Johnny was the wild Southern Baptist, and my father was the sober, if not, he was a drinker, but sober-minded businessman from a more urban setting, and an atheist to boot. So they clashed often for 2 decades.
We have a copy of one of the phone calls that your father made an audio record of. And I'd like to play that now and then ask you afterwards to give us a sense to expand on what you have just touched on there in terms of the aspects of religion and belief systems and the way that this impacted on their relationship. Here it is.
Now, there's a couple of things I want to say to you that I need to clear the air completely with you all.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I knew way before I even did the film that there's a lot of people, maybe the majority of the people, are not going to buy what I'm saying in this film or what the film is saying. So you see, I don't really have to be told that because I know that.
Well, when I make a statement like that, that's what is known as trying to be honest. Because first of all, if you take 100 people, 25 of them are Christian faith, and 20 of them are Muslims, and
yeah.
10, you know, that's what I meant.
Yeah, but I knew that originally, see.
Yeah.
Well, I just felt like that you didn't have a lot of interest in this film.
I'm one of the few people that try to say to you exactly what they think without meaning to be harmful. I'm not trying to break things down. I'm just trying to maybe temper things a little bit by saying not exactly what people think you want to hear.
Yeah, right.
I find a lot of people tell you exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah, I know that. I don't need that either.
And that doesn't help.
No, it does.
Jonathan, give us a sense of what was going on there between your father, Saul Holliff, and Johnny Cash, the musician that he was managing.
Sure. To me, this is fascinating on so many levels. This was recorded in 1972, I believe. Cash was at the height of his power in entertainment. He had just come off a very successful variety show. on ABC. And when stars reach that level, people have a difficult time telling them anything that they don't want to hear. They're blowing smoke up their asses most of the time. And it was Saul's job to keep Johnny rooted in reality and to point out that certain things may not be commercial. And I think in this case, this phone call represented not only a change in Johnny's approach. It's widely considered, widely known that Cash had always been interested in performing gospel music, and he was certainly a religious guy, if not in practice. For a Christian, he sinned more than anyone else, probably. But it wasn't until after he got together with June and they befriended Billy Graham and his wife that Johnny decided to become born again. And this phone conversation refers to the movie that Johnny made called A Gospel Road, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus, at his own expense for $500,000, 1970 dollars, which would be $10 million today. And Johnny is clearly concerned that Saul doesn't have his back. Saul is trying to say, look, you know, it won't appeal to everybody, but I'll do what I can to find an audience for this film. But this was absolutely the beginning of the end of their relationship.
So it was the turning point. And evidently, and I'm guessing because I haven't seen the documentary film yet, evidently the pushing or the tipping point for your father's own mental health challenges.
Yes, although I wouldn't put the blame squarely at Johnny's feet. My father had issues and would have had issues had he been in any other profession. But he was an atheist, and he felt uncomfortable with Johnny's new direction. Not that he didn't respect anyone's right to their beliefs or their ideology, but Johnny did begin a campaign. I don't know how overt it might have been, but to, in Saul's mind, convert him, have Saul see the light. In fact, Johnny casts Saul in the role of Caiaphas in that film, which to me takes on Shakespearean proportions and really makes the film interesting in the third act, and I hope people will get to see it.
As you mentioned earlier, you have been involved more in the behind-the-scenes aspects of business in terms of the entertainment industry. And with this documentary, you entered the creative side of the business. What was that like for you?
Again, it was a pleasant surprise. I had always, I'm like many other young men who were trying to gain their father's approval, if not love. And I thought if I went out and went into business, the entertainment business, and became bigger than Saul Holliff, if he didn't respect me, he couldn't ignore me. So I always worked as an agent in Hollywood and behind the scenes. But then I wanted to tell the story, and I found to my great surprise how much I enjoyed the creative process. And writing and directing and producing this film was one of the most cherished moments of my life.
This film will screen in Nanaimo at the end of the month as a fundraiser for the Vancouver Island Mental Health Society. What can you tell us about your reasons for wanting to do that, for wanting to share the film as a fundraiser for Van Isle Mental Health?
Well, I think anybody who's seen the film, and this film has traveled around the world many times already, and I've been to seven or eight different countries doing Q&As, and I'm just thrilled by how it tends to touch people emotionally and that they regard it as a universal story. They may come to it as fans of Johnny Cash, but they leave seeing their own lives writ large. And there's nothing special about my childhood. These are themes that I think all of us can relate to. In this particular case, obviously, there are mental health issues inherent in the film. Johnny was addicted to the pills, Saul to the bottle. My father, I believe, though undiagnosed, and of course we're talking about a different time, this was the 60s and 70s, definitely suffered from chronic low-grade depression. And for me, this is an opportunity to help a worthwhile organization, which I have followed since coming back to Nanaimo. And the themes in the movie seem to be such a wonderful fit, so I'm anxious to do something to help them.
Jonathan, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just come on down and see the film.
Thank you very much, Jonathan Holliff.
Thank you.
Jonathan Holliff made his directorial debut with the documentary film My Father and the Man in Black. You can find out more about the film online at johnnyandsaul.com. Tickets for the May 29th, 2015 showing in Nanaimo are available online at theporttheatre.com. My Father and the Man in Black will screen at Vancouver Island University, and it includes a Q&A session with Jonathan Haulliff.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcasts on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.